Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Behold the man on the cross. This is his purpose. This is why God is man. This is why the eternal second person of the triune God has taken on human flesh. This is the reason. Behold the man on the cross, bleeding, gasping, suffering, dying. Behold the man. Behold his hands, which the night before were washing his disciples' feet. Now they are pinned with nails on the rough crossbeam of this instrument of torture and execution. Behold the hands that scooped Adam out of the dirt, but are now stained with dirt and blood. Behold the fingers with which he touched lepers, stuck into the ears of the deaf man, and picked up bread to declare it to be his own body. Now they jerk uncontrollably every time he has to pull himself up on the nails through his wrists just to take a breath. But this is why God has hands. Behold the man. Behold his skin that has been shredded by the evil flagrum of the Romans, with lacerating bone shards and bruising steel balls woven into the leather thongs to inflict the most damage to the skin and the greatest suffering on the one being beaten. Behold the skin of his back, which is now a bloody pulp that he must scrape up and down on the cross as he struggles to breathe. But this is why God has skin. Behold the knees skinned and bruised from falling under the weight of the cross he was for a time forced to carry out to this place of the skull. But this is why God has legs. Behold the man. Behold his feet, nailed to the cross, bearing his weight as he dies. Behold the feet that walked town to town as he taught his disciples, healed the sick, and preached the good news of man's release from captivity to sin and death. Behold the feet that Mary anointed with the pound of expensive ointment, washed with her tears, and wiped with her own hair. Behold the feet that are now bound in place. Behold the feet that must endure stabbing pain as they push up on the nail, pinning them in place. Behold his heel, which is in this act of dying, is crushing the head of that serpent, destroying the kingdom of Satan, entering for mankind sinful rebellion. But this is why God has feet. Behold the man. Behold his head, with the rivulets of blood flowing from each place one of the thorns of the mock crown had pressed through his skin. Behold the head that should rightly be crowned with majesty and glory, surpassing every earthly king's crown. Behold the head over which has been hung the sign, listing the charge that has brought this death sentence. Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Behold the head that, like his forefathers David, would have been anointed to make him king. But this is why God has a head. Behold the man. Behold his face, which has fresh swelling and bruising from the blows dealt, first by the high priest's officer, and later by the soldiers, jeering at him to prophesy, "Who is it that struck you?" Behold his eyes, which in the beginning looked at all that he had made, seeing that it was very good. Behold the eyes that looked with mercy and compassion on the crowds, on his disciples, on the sick. Behold his lips, which spoke words of absolution, but are now dry and cracked from a deeper thirst than you will ever know. Behold the cheeks that were kissed by his mother. Behold how his face contorts in agony. But this is why God has a face. Behold the man. Behold his lungs as they slowly fill with fluid. Behold the lungs that breathe the breath of life into Adam's nostrils. Behold the lungs that in this hanging posture cannot exhale without the man pulling his whole body up on the nails to open his airway. Behold the lungs that expel one final breath as he cries, "It is finished." Gives up his spirit and dies. But this is why God has lungs. Behold the man. Behold his bones, which remain unbroken throughout this torturous ordeal. Behold the reason every sacrifice, every Passover lamb, every bull for the whole burnt offering, every scapegoat, every ram, every turtle dove had to be healthy and intact, with no broken bones or disfigurement, a perfect specimen of its kind. Behold the soldiers who with their clubs shatter the legs of each of the thieves crucified with Jesus, but refrain from doing the same to Jesus. But this is why God has bones. Behold the man. Behold his side, into which the soldier thrust his spear, causing a river of blood and water to flow forth, confirming that he is truly and completely dead. His heart has stopped. His synapses no longer fire. Behold the deep sleep of death that has come upon this man on the sixth day of the week. Behold the material from the side of the crucified man that God will fashion into his bride, the church, and give her to him when he wakes. Behold the side of the man which disbelieving Thomas will be given the chance to shove his rude hand into. But this is why God has a side. Behold the man. Behold his blood, which pours from his lifeless body, staining the wooden beams of the cross, spilling onto the dirt, reddening the soil, watering his creation. Behold the blood that he first shed when he was an eight-day-old boy, undergoing the sign by which all Jewish boys were made Israelites. Behold the blood for which the crowd thirsted and ironically asked for exactly what they needed. His blood be on us and on our children. Behold the blood that was foreshadowed on every day of atonement when the blood of the sacrifice was splattered on the mercy seat, on the altar, and on the people. Behold the blood he gave it to his disciples in the cup the night before, telling them its function. Shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Behold the blood that proves that this God was also truly and fully a man, a brother in blood to us sinners. This is the blood by which the eternal high priest enters once for all into the most holy place, giving sinful men access to a holy God. But this is why God has blood. This is no accident, nor is it a tragedy. Jesus himself had said, "No one takes it, that is my life, from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again." This is why God is man. Not to teach you how to be good, not to show you the right way to live, not to set the perfect example, not to impart his wise teaching. God is man so that he can die for men. He has a life so that he can lay it down in exchange for yours. Behold the man. In Jesus' name, amen. Now the peace of God which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds ever faithful unto life everlasting. Amen.